My daughter's just 2 now, but I'd like her to study dancing when she's about 12. So I'm backing her future with United States savings bonds.
This is Ben Grauer inviting you to hear the new Treasury Salute, presented on more than 800 American radio stations and featuring Robert Waldrop, author and commentator, in a transcribed story from the American Notebook, The Ferocious Bandmaster. And now, Robert Waldrop and our Treasury Salute story, The Ferocious Bandmaster.
When I was a boy, the people in my hometown, when they met our local bandmaster on the street, spoke to him and regarded him with mingled awe and apprehension. For the grapevine had it that Old Jules, and that was his name, was a tyrant among the rural trombone and cornet players. He even looked ferocious. But as I remember him, and I remember him very well, he was really a gentle-hearted man with a soul of gold, and music was his god. But perhaps because so few of our townspeople shared either his knowledge or his enthusiasm for it, Old Jules was little understood, and I'm sorry to say, little appreciated. But I remember to this day how he could play the William Tell Overture. He used to play it over and over again at the band concerts which were held every summer on the fairgrounds over on the east side of town. I always, to this day, associate the William Tell Overture with ice cream cones, because when Jules would scowl at his assembled musicians, if such some of them could be called, and the cellos began Rossini's famous music, I was always to be found sitting down in the front row sucking on an ice cream cone, or what we called in those days a cornucopia. But to Old Jules, the William Tell Overture was serious business and hard work. My grandfather loved it. No piece of music in the world was as grand to him as William Tell. You see, we lived in the country on a farm. My grandfather was born on that farm, and he died there. And every Saturday night of his life, in the summertime, that is, my grandfather would say,
"Son, how about you and me going to town for the band concert tonight?"
And I'd grin from ear to ear and nod my head. And then he would say,
"You think your mother and your dad would like to go with us?"
Now, that was the most important part of it all, was selling my mother and father on the idea of going, because unless they went, we couldn't go. My grandfather was too old to drive the car, and I was too young. And it was several miles into town. But my mother and my father knew how Granddad and I felt about the Saturday night band concerts, and we always wound up by going, all of us. Mother was always willing because, as she put it,
"The stores are open Saturday nights, and I can do some shopping while you men folks listen to the band."
"But, Mother, gee willikers, if it's Saturday night, why can't we go?"
I used to say, "Don't you like the band concerts?" And she would reply,
"Yes, I like the band concerts all right. They do say Old Jules is a fine bandmaster, and I guess he is, but, well, I haven't been to town all week, and this is a good time to get some new material I've been looking for while the stores are open."
And then my father would wink at my mother and say,
"By the time your mother gets through her shopping and over to the fairgrounds, Old Jules will be through with the William Tell Overture." That's what she's thinking.
And my father would laugh, and my mother would laugh, and even my dear old grandfather would laugh. But I didn't laugh, because I was always afraid I was going to miss the William Tell Overture. But I never did, and I must have heard it 1,000 times. And then, in the fall of the year, when the crops were brought in and the harvests gathered, the fairgrounds would burst into full splendor for a whole week with the county fair. Farm women who had been putting up fruit all summer would choose their best preserves and pickled peaches, their savoriest chutneys, and their clearest, most unblemished jellies in anticipation of the blue ribbon. My mother won that blue ribbon once, I remember. And my father said,
I just don't understand it. You make it just as good every year, no better this year than usual. I think you should get the prize every year.
And my mother would say,
well, your pumpkins were just as big as anybody else's. And I don't see why those people over in Carneros District should get the prize either.
But the people over in Carneros District thought they raised bigger pumpkins anyway. And I guess when you get right down to it, maybe they did. They nearly always got the prize. There were many vineyards in our valley. This was out in California, I'm talking about, in the Napa Valley. And the booths and the bandstand were invariably festooned with grape leaves, because this, the annual county fair, was old Jules' big moment. We had band concerts twice a day, afternoon and evening. Jules was nearly as famous for his Blue Danube as he was for his William Tell. Grandfather loved the Blue Danube. When Jules would start to play it, my granddad would turn to me and say,
now that's what I call music. Pure, unadulterated music.
And he would look up at old Jules there on the bandstand and nod his head in time to the waltzing strains.
I've danced many's the time, your grandma and me.
And he would pause reflectively, listening. And then he would always add,
they don't dance like that nowadays. No, sir.
Old Jules always took his vacation after the county fair was over and went to the city to hear the big bands play. John Philip Sousa, Arthur Pryor, Creator, Vassala's Italian Band. Well, my grandfather is dead now, but old Jules isn't. I don't know why everybody called him old Jules, because he's just beginning to get old now. Though I guess it was a mark of veneration. He still has that long mane, somewhat silvered now, and he still stomps out onto the stage and wraps his baton as though he were about to tear the band apart, man by man. He is still just as ferocious as ever, as misunderstood and unappreciated as ever. And he still plays the William Tell Overture. I'd love to hear him play it again. But today, he is on one side of this continent, and I am on the other. And between us, our United States reach from ocean to ocean, stepping across mountains just as breathtaking and mighty as the Alps, stretching across prairies that William Tell never dreamed of. And there is music in all of it. The west wind reaches its fingers down to the wheat fields of our Midwest and ripples through the ripening grain as the fingers of a harpist ripple over the strings of a harp. Our great rivers, the Mississippi, the Missouri, the Ohio, the Hudson, the Colorado, the Columbia, the Sacramento, slip along within their banks like the deep diapason notes of a huge organ. The storms in our Alleghenies and our Rocky Mountains outcrash the biggest drums ever beat upon. Old Jules would love to have percussion like that. The sigh of our forests is softer and sweeter than all the violins in the world. Old Jules would love that, too. There's great music in this land. We are the musicians. We belong to the biggest band in the world, and we have but to take up our separate tasks as the men in Jules's band took up their instruments and play together. None of us intentionally sounding a sour note. For together there is no discord, only harmony. Together, figuratively speaking, we could play William Tell as it has never been played before. We could raise the roof with it. And old Jules would love that, too. For he was not born an American, but a Belgian. And he knows today, as he knew then, what a great country this is. He knew, too, what it is not to be understood and not to be appreciated. And he used to tell me how we take our country and our freedom too much for granted sometimes. He used to tell me that this was the greatest country for music in the world. And after growing up on his playing of the William Tell Overture, I believe him. And that is why I wish to inscribe the name of Jules Wyand, Old Jules the Ferocious Bandmaster, and the names of thousands of other such men who have led all the hometown bands all over our country on this page of our American notebook.
Friends, this is Ben Grauer again. What Robert Waldrop said just a moment ago about all of us belonging to the biggest band in the world, and that we have but to take our separate paths and play together to make the grandest music ever, is far more truth than poetry. America is today the most wonderful, most powerful nation on earth. But America is only as strong as its individual citizens, and that means you and me. What can we do to make a better world? Well, we can each plan and work to build a secure, happy future for ourselves as individuals. That, of course, calls for money. And the best way there is to have that money is to buy just as many U.S. savings bonds as you possibly can. The greatest, safest investment there is. Yes, it's important for you to be financially secure. For only then can our country be strong, a leader among nations. For every $3 you invest, U.S. savings bonds pay back $4 in just 10 years. So start today to buy and hold U.S. savings bonds.
Our next Treasury salute story from the American Notebook will be called Mr. Whistle Britches. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, so join us, won't you? Until then, this is Robert Waldrop speaking. Thank you for listening.
Transcribed Treasury Salute was written and narrated by Robert Waldrop and directed by William S. Rainey. The music was under the direction of Mark Warner. This is Ben Grauer reminding you that the best way in the world to back your future is to keep buying and holding United States savings bonds.